Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Drunk Wrestling History. As you might notice, I am not your designated host, Adam. If you are a new listener, or if you listened last week, then you know me. I am one of the wives, Carissa, and I will be your special co-host for this San Diego experiment.
Experience.
Or experience, whatever you like. My other co-host is the other wife, Shannon.
Hello.
Hello.
And we just want to thank you for listening, and welcome to another night of Drunk Wrestling History. Introduce yourselves.
This is Eddie, Woozle Wazzle.
And this is Scott. Since Eddie has changed his catchphrase, I'm going to pick his up and let you know that it's Ghetto Blaster time, fool.
Thank you.
And what is everyone drinking tonight?
I'm going with Corona. I've had a couple shots of Jaeger. I started with a margarita earlier. I had some tequila, like with lunch, but I think for the rest of the night, in the spirit of San Diego, Corona.
So I am going with shots of Jaeger in between episodes, and I would guesstimate I'm a little more drunk than you are, Ed, which is very uncommon for our podcast.
This is unprecedented.
This is the drunkest I've ever seen you, Scott.
Unprecedented.
This is not the most drunk I've ever seen him. I've seen him way more drunk than this, but I've never seen him... never been this much of a differential between our drunkennesses, right?
True.
Like, you've been pretty fucked up, but I was right there with you.
Right, and you have a hard time telling when I'm extremely fucked up.
No, because you just get quiet.
But I can tell right now, so obviously it's because I'm always more drunk than you are.
Right. So right now I'm more drunk than you are, so you can clearly see.
Right, and I just have a nice gentleman's buzz.
Right, I do not. Yeah. I'm a sloppy man's buzz.
Exactly.
And like I said last time, if you listened, I am not your designated host, not just because I'm not Adam, but because I also drink. So I've been drinking since like noon. So
same.
Let's see how this goes. And Scott was right there with me. We drank some tequila, and we had some Jaeger and some Crown, and now I'm drinking my go-to wine, which is Beringer Chenin Blanc, and they don't pay me. I'm just... But if you get a six-pack, it's like 50 cents off, and it's $3.50 a bottle.
Right. It's like the cheapest wine you can get.
I love
it. Actually like if you go into the supermarket to get it.
I was on my knees today because we bought two six-packs. I was on my knees pulling the wine off
them. Right. It's so low on the shelf. It's on such a low shelf, you do have to get on your knees to find it a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I call her my bottom shelf boo.
And how many did we get?
12. We got 12.
12.
Well, you got a 12-pack of beer, so I just got a 12-pack of wine. What's the big deal?
It's fair.
So... tonight we are talking about No Way Out 98, which was a shortened version, apparently, of No Way Out of Texas in Your House. So this was part of an In Your House series that WWE did. This was actually the 20th pay-per-view under the In Your House umbrella. And, little fun fact, this was the first pay-per-view that then became an annual pay-per-view. They shortened it to No Way Out, besides the Big Four. So this was the first one besides the Big Four that had its own title and became annual. And it's apparently ridiculous, which is why we're discussing it. So I was in the bathroom. So while my husband Eddie was preparing for this podcast, watching it, I think we were going out that night or something, and I was in the bathroom doing my hair, and I just kept hearing him hysterically laughing. I assumed he was watching wrestling because he always does, but after the third time I heard him hysterically laugh, I was like, are you watching the Chappelle stand-up? What are you doing? I came out, he was like, no, I'm watching this fucking pay-per-view, and it's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was nuts. So, like, there are a lot of podcasts out there, right? And I've seen a lot that come across my Twitter or whatever, and I know a lot of them review pay-per-views. I can almost guarantee no one's ever bothered to review this pay-per-view, because if you're listening to this right now, can you name one match in your head from this pay-per-view?
Oh, from No Way 98?
I would assume not, right?
There's no way.
Yeah. It was like a nothing throwaway shit-ass pay-per-view from 1998.
It was the modern-day equivalent of what Fastlane is now.
What?
Fastlane would be the pay-per-view in between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of Fastlane? Says the guy that went to consecutive pay-per-views Royal Rumble,
WrestleMania. You don't get that he's making it.
Kayfabe, brother.
Oh.
Okay. No, but it's a fairly obscure pay-per-view, and the only reason I even came across it is because when the network came out, I was like, I'm going to watch the entire Attitude Era from... It's kind of hard to say when it started. I just picked Survivor Series 97 as the start of it. And I kind of figured I'd end with WrestleMania 17, maybe just go all the way to 18.
And that includes the Raws.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm watching every pay-per-view, every Raw, and when SmackDown starts, yes. I'm watching those. So I got to this point, and I mean, this took me like 6 months to even get to this. So this was February.
February, yes.
February 98. So I started in November 97. So it took forever to get even to this point. But I put this pay-per-view on, and the first match, I was just like, what is this shit? And then you get to the second match, and the third match, and every match was fucking weird. It was just a weird, weird show.
I didn't even watch it, but just looking up for this podcast, I looked on Wikipedia to get the match list for you guys, and I had questions just based on the match list. Like, I asked, I was like, wait, they did this? When we get deeper in the card, we'll talk about it. They had this... like 8-man, and then they had another like 4-on-4. It does even looking at it on paper, it's insane.
Right, you don't have to see it.
No.
To yeah, it's crazy. The whole show was the weirdest pay per view I've ever seen, and I think it pretty quickly rose to one of my top ten pay per views of all time.
Well,
just for the absurdity of it, which we'll go into this at some point, but the absurdity of wrestling in general is part of why I love wrestling, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get to that on the custody of a child determining a ladder match episode, yes. Right? Because that's absurdity at its finest.
Extremely absurd,
yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, let's just jump right into the show.
Let's dive right in. So the first match...
shit our pants and dive in and swim.
...was the Headbangers, which is Mosh and Thrasher. And they were wrestling... the artist formerly known as Goldust and Mark Miro with Luna and Sable. And that was tag team match. And the Headbangers won.
Yeah, the Headbangers did win the match. And the whole thing was that Sable and Luna had this feud going. And Miro and Sable had heat with each other. And for some weird reason, this is the opening match. Thrasher got color. The like, opening match of the card... one of the tag team members got busted open and is bleeding. That normally is reserved for the semi-main or main event. No. At No Way 98, Thrasher, in the opener, got busted open.
Mad color, too. So this is when this was the first... go ahead.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. I just had a comment. Okay. But I think I heard... didn't the king say something like how he was like something like there should only be one hot chick out here and like sent one of them away or something?
No, King didn't say that. That was Mero.
Okay.
Yes.
Mero shows up with Sable.
Is that one of the chick? Yeah.
So Mero showed up with Sable.
Oh wait, Mero was married to one of them?
Yeah, that was Sable. his real.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, she was his shoot wife.
Okay.
He brought her out, and this is when they were doing the storyline where like he just was pissed because she was getting more attention than him. Okay. And Goldust was the artist formerly known as Goldust at this point, which was like 5 to 6 years too late, right? Because Prince changed his name to that like way before.
He did, yeah. Right? It was a late callback, yes.
And then he was dressed up as Marilyn Manson, which was probably like 3 years too late.
Right, exactly. Right?
None of it made sense, this Goldust shit.
No.
But he had Luna with him, and Mero said, there's only room for one beautiful woman in the ring, so Sable, get your ass out of here.
That's what I heard.
Sable got bumped in favor of Luna.
Goldust was married to
Marlena.
He was married to Marlena, who was actually hot.
Right.
As opposed to Luna.
It was not.
Hate to speak ill of the dead, but.
Okay, I gotta click on it. I gotta see.
Had a rocking body. Oh, dear,
no. God, no.
Oh, no. There's a part during the match where he picks her up over his shoulder at the end of it, and I mean, she's in the thong. Like, I mean, that was glorious.
Well, but, right.
You know, she would win the Butterface contest. Anyway,
I
just
clicked on the link for her in Wikipedia, and I had to go right back.
Right.
And there's the woman's opinion.
So the match was fucking crazy because it's the first match of the night. Nobody bought the pay-per-view of the match. Nobody cares. And it wasn't even... the thing about it that was crazy was the match was not about those two teams. It was about Sable and Luna. So by the time you get to the finish of it, it finished with them. But Thrasher, for some reason, is bleeding like he's been... shot in the head.
Did Sable actually leave?
She left. She did.
So yeah. She came back. But she returned.
She came back later.
Okay. Yes.
But so, and I was like, when I first, I think I looked away, right? And I'm, suddenly I'm like looking, and Thrasher's covered in blood. And I was like, well, what happened? I was like, that, I'm seriously thinking that was a mistake, right? Like something, you know.
Right.
It was a shoot. He got busted open by accident. No, he didn't get busted open by accident. He got dropped face first on the steps. And actually, I think Luna came over and did the blade job.
Yes.
Because, right? Because she came over and like kind of, I don't know. It was like Bobby Heenan with Bundy at two.
Yes.
Right? Where clearly she was the one cutting him. And, I mean, he bled like fuck, dude.
In the opener.
In the opening match. In a tag team match that nobody cared about the whole time I'm watching it. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how is this match going to turn out? And apart from that, it was a fairly standard tag team match.
It was just standard tag.
Right. There was nothing noticeable about it other than a dude is bleeding to death.
Yeah. Thrasher.
Right? Yes. Yeah. And then so it doesn't even go to a regular finish. Sable comes out, attacks Luna, like, which... Sable's the baby face, but she just comes out and attacks a bitch for no reason.
Right.
And then I think, I forget how it ended actually. One of the headbangers won.
Yeah, the headbangers pulled off the victory.
And it was like the ref was distracted and the headbangers pulled off a win.
Yes.
But it was just, it was completely absurd.
Yeah, there's no reason to get color in the opener.
Right, yet, right.
In this one, they did.
Mm-hmm. And that was exact, that was the start of an insane pay-per-view.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That was the tip of the iceberg, if you will.
Right.
And then we move on to, it was a singles match for the WWF at the time, Light Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, that was kind of the original Cruiserweight Championship.
And Taka...
Michinoku.
Michinoku defeated Pantera.
Yeah.
Pantera?
Yeah, so it's Taka versus Pantera, which... That was actually a good match, and it was like the least weird match of the whole night, but it was still a little, there were bits of it, right? First of all, Pantera, that's panther in Spanish, right?
Yes.
Well, Pantera's dressed like a zebra.
Like a zebra.
Right?
Not a panther. A zebra.
A zebra. He's in zebra stripe.
Did they not know that meant panther in Spanish?
I mean, I'm sure Pantera did. Yeah. I don't know. He's like that zebra in Tijuana that's not a zebra. He's a donkey.
Is Pantera Mexican?
Yeah, he was from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, yeah, he knows what he's doing. But he doesn't know what panther clothes look like, I guess.
Right. It's zebra clothes. Close enough.
Yeah. And other than that, the match, you know what? Watching it back, I kind of forgot. Like, Taka Michinoku was so fucking good.
He was fantastic.
And of all the guys, if you go back to the Attitude Era and look at, like, Road Dogg wouldn't work now, right? Like, he would just... If Road Dogg was on Raw, people would be like, oh, no, Road Dogg sucks. He can't wrestle.
Right. Throw him right out.
Even honestly, Stone Cold, just with, if you look at what he did bell to bell, like, people really wouldn't be into that. Taka Michinoku would be a big deal now. People would love that guy.
Yeah, excellent work rate.
Yeah. I mean, the guy could work. And I love that the Michinoku driver is still called that. Like, that's his legacy in wrestling.
It's a callback, yes.
Yeah.
To his legacy, absolutely. Yeah. And Brian Christopher was at ringside doing commentary with his dad, the King, and Jim Ross. And made several racist comments during the events of this match.
Exactly, and that's where it got really crazy, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, this is only 20 years ago, or 21
years. And they left it in.
Yeah, it's on the network. They didn't, we can't hear Hillbilly Jim's music anymore, but we can hear Brian Christopher
we hear Rob Van Dam's music?
Right, but we can hear Brian Christopher say, talking about Michinoku slant-eyed.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, this is 1998, like, still, like, not okay to say, even by 2019 standards.
Right.
But still got away with it, still not edited out.
Hillbilly Jim's music?
Oh, yeah, they lost the rights to his music. So
copyright
issues.
Just lost.
Yeah, it's a clearances issue.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, it's like, that's what I can't hear, but I can hear these, like, jokes. I mean, they're practically calling him a Jap, right? It's like watching Well, I mean, I'm not saying that.
It's
like the old racist Popeye cartoons from the 40s. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this match was like.
Yes.
And at one point, so Taka had the title and he had won it from Brian Christopher. Jerry Lawler said, what do you call a Japanese guy with the title belt? A thief.
Gosh.
And then he said at one point something to the effect of everyone knows the Japanese are all losers. I was just like, damn, dude.
Yeah.
And like, this it was a lot.
It's only 21 years ago.
This is not 1962.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And you're like, damn, dude, wrestling was racist as fuck.
Yeah. It took a long time to come out of that.
Yeah.
Well, unless you're Hogan.
I think we should talk about Greg the Racist Valentine at some point, too.
I'm sure that'll come up.
That's a good 205 jive.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was kind of the story of that match. It was a good match. I think Taka won.
Taka won.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, every match was weird. That was a weird part of that one.
Yep.
So the next match, another tag team match. This is just stacked with tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Godwins, not Goodwins.
Godwins, like, yeah.
Henry O. Godwin and
Phineas.
Phineas.
Defeated the Quebecers, Jacques and Pierre, which, I mean, between the Quebecers and the headband, this is why I used to make fun of you for watching wrestling.
It's all very confusing.
The Godwins won.
Yeah, and this was another bizarre match. So watching the match, like, it was really weird. The Godwins were like, I mean, there was not a babyface team in this match.
No, they were like kind of tweeners.
Well, they were both like heels, actually.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
I mean, the Godwins did the spot where they cut the ring off. And
yes.
You know, right? And they're working over Jacques, who you and I talked about this earlier. Jacques, at that point, should have really shaved his head.
He should have, yeah. The, like, bald spot was insulting almost.
Right. He was clearly still in great shape, but he was showing his age with that hair.
For sure. For sure. But I don't want to overlook the fact his tag team partner in this match is the current day PCO, who happens to be the ROH World Champion.
Right. And I wasn't aware of this PCO phenomenon until, do you remember when you told me about this?
Yeah, when we went to NJPW in July of last year.
Yeah, at the Cow Palace. We're on the way to the Cow Palace. And you, I don't even know why it came up, but you started telling me this, and I don't know what it was, but I started giggling.
Yeah, you didn't think I was serious.
Yeah, I was like, you're fucking with me, right? Like, that dude?
Carl Ulle.
I laughed my ass off, and it's not even funny. But it was funny. For some reason, it was hilarious to me.
Yeah, I mean, talk about, excuse me, talk about a reinvention of your character.
Yeah, yeah.
And he does legit have a blind right eye.
That's is that legit. True?
Yeah, it is true.
Oh, because I always wondered with the eye patch. Because I always thought with the eye patch, like, it looks cool, but it's got to hurt his. It's got to make things difficult for him. But I didn't know he actually had a bad.
No, eye. Legit blind in his right eye.
Oh, he should change his eye.
If he could,
okay,
he might.
All right,
but yeah, like, it's weird to think that you're watching a pay per view from 1998 and you are watching the current day 2019 Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion wrestling in that match. 21 years later, a guy should not be able to reinvent himself and become Ring of Honor Heavyweight Champion.
Right. But to be fair, Ring of Honor World Champion in 2019 is not the Ring of Honor World Champion of 2009.
Or even 2014 when it was Kevin Owens.
Right. I mean, they have Ring of Honor stock has dropped more than my PG&E stock has.
Right, or my mom's Lucent stock.
That's not possible.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love Ring of Honor. I don't want to bury Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor
is
great.
It is.
I wish I had more time to watch them. They have a great show. It's just kind of weird. They've stalled. You know what I mean? They're in cruise control. And I've heard that that's a Sinclair Network decision, that they're just like, this is just, it's going to get a good number every week and we're happy with that. Like, they don't want to expand on it. And I mean, that's fine if that's what they want to do, but... no, I don't mean to talk shit about Ring of Honor. I like Ring of Honor a lot.
But the weird thing about this match is that the Godwins pull off the victory. After the match, proceed to lay out the Quebecers with their metal pails.
Right, the baby faces beat up the heels after beating them.
After
clean.
Beating them, yeah.
That didn't make any sense. Yeah,
yeah.
That's also, not a babyface move at all.
No, not at all. But they didn't wrestle like baby faces. They both wrestled like heel teams. And there were some other weird things, too.
Yeah.
There was also the thing where Jacques hit, I think it was Phineas, with the pile driver and didn't try to pin him.
Yeah, right.
And this is back then when, like, that was a big move. Like, why would you,
move.
Like, what are you doing? Like, that's the end of the match, right? No, I'm going to go tag in PCO and do that stupid flippy thing. That
with the Quebecers finisher.
The Swanton.
Yes.
Right?
The assisted Swanton.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts. It was crazy.
Yep. Much as the theme of this pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Yes.
Fits right in.
So maybe we're not to the craziest part yet, but...
Oh, not even close.
The next match was a singles match for the NWA... what's NWA?
National Wrestling Alliance. Billy Corgan's wrestling.
Oh, fine.
Current day, yes.
Yeah.
Smashing Pumpkins.
The one that Jim Cornette had to quit.
Yes. NWA North American Heavyweight Championship. And Justin Bradshaw defeated Jeff Jarrett with Jim Cornette by DQ. And is Jeff Jarrett... Is that?
Yeah, Jeff Jarrett.
You know
the
Jeff
Jarrett
the Jeff Jarrett we ran into in Orlando.
Yeah, tell that story. This is the funniest you've ever been. Scott.
So we were it was. It was hilarious.
It was literally the funniest.
So we were in Orlando.
What a fucking comedian.
Oh my God.
We went to the takeover in Orlando 2.5 years ago. And so if anyone who's not been to Orlando, didn't go to that WrestleMania, it's pretty, Orlando's a good place for WrestleMania because the arena is right kind of, I don't know if it's downtown, but it's, I mean, like right outside the arena is a bunch of bars and restaurants. It was cool. So everyone who was at the takeover show was out partying after, right? So we're wandering around. I stopped by Sev and I grabbed a buzzball.
Okay.
And we were trying to find a bar to hang out at. And a car pulls up next to me. Dude rolls down the window from the back seat. It was very mobster. And Jeff Jarrett is in the car. And he asked me for directions to some club. And it was, I think, Jim Ross was doing his show.
Okay.
That night. And Jarrett was going to be a guest. And, like, of course, the guy who runs TNA is lost. Right?
What?
You know what I mean? Right? Right. Like, yeah, duh. He's the guy who can't get a car service, who knows where they're going. And I texted you. And I said, hey, dude, Jeff Jarrett just asked me for directions. And your response was, on how to run a wrestling company?
Because clearly he had no idea.
Oh, my God. No, clueless. That was really funny. Yeah. I was like,
but so Jeff Jarrett versus Bradshaw.
Yes.
Right? And this is when Jarrett was with Cornette.
Yes.
And the and Rock and Roll Express.
Jarrett was the champion.
And Barry Windham.
But yeah. I guess he kept it because it was DQ.
Yeah, it was a DQ. Okay, yes. So, yeah. But it was, yeah, Jarrett was, it was like one of the few times where Jarrett was a babyface in WWE.
But was he babyface though? Because the NWA struck me as like the heel faction, because after Bradshaw beat him by DQ, they jumped him. And then the LOD had to come down to make the save. So it seemed that the NWA was more like
faction. No, I'm all fucked up. You're right. Yeah, Jarrett was with Cornette.
I've had way more to drink than you. Keep up, dude.
I know.
You must be so embarrassed.
Sad.
You want a shot?
No.
I think he needs a shot, Carissa. Yes. Shannon, get him a shot. This is embarrassing.
Anyway, watching back the match, I had an Uber driver ask me a couple years ago who I thought was the most underrated wrestler. And I said, it's hard to say, like, off the top of your head.
Most underrated since as long as you've been watching?
Yeah.
Most just, underrated?
Yeah.
God, that's a loaded question.
Right, so just
that's
off the top of my head.
To think about.
Yeah, so the first name that came to my head was Billy Gunn. Because I always thought Billy Gunn was very underrated in the ring. People never thought, because he was such a character.
Yes.
People never thought, kind of overlooked how good he was in the ring. Like, that guy was athletic as fuck. But watching that match, I was like, you know who might be the most underrated is Jeff Jarrett. That guy was fantastic. Like, dude, he was like, he was on Mr. Perfect's level, I think. Like, he was really good.
I literally didn't know until right this second, or like 10 minutes ago when I said his name, that he was also a wrestler.
Like, Jeff Jarrett?
You thought he just ran the company.
Just
Yeah.
Didn't know how to run a wrestling company.
Yeah. Able double duty.
Right. No, he was great.
Well, that makes way less sense.
Well, and he was a big deal in the mid 90s with WWF, too. Uh-huh. He was an Intercontinental Champion with them.
J-E-double-F-J-A-double-R-E-double-T.
Like,
that's
he had a
double
whole
J, Jeff Jarrett.
And he had his hat lit up and the sunglasses lit up. He was a whole character.
My first experience with him was giving him directions.
Oh, man. Well, again, to go back to our callback of the previous episode of The Best of the Decade, you're not an old school fan.
I am not.
Meaning, you start in like the 2000s.
Right.
Adam.
Late
2008, I believe.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So actually later than Adam. So you weren't watching in the 90s when Double J was a big deal. So completely understandable that you wouldn't know who Double J is.
Yeah. You just think a wrestler would be able to run a wrestling company better.
But you knew exactly who Bradshaw was. A wrestling god.
She loved Bradshaw.
Yeah.
JBL.
Oh, JBL. Not
that's
this
JBL.
Guy.
That's the same guy.
Bradshaw.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Oh, he was Justin?
Yes, Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
No, but he was still wrestling when I was there.
I know.
When I started.
Yeah.
The same guy.
I
love JBL.
Yeah. Yeah. So he went through like Justin Hawk Bradshaw to APA.
No, but I literally didn't know until this very second that that was the same person.
Same dude.
Yeah.
Same dude.
We'll see. That's the goal of this podcast.
Yeah.
Educate the listeners.
I didn't know.
And sometimes our host.
Because I didn't click on his name.
Educate the unwashed masses.
What?
No, JBL was the best. He was such a great fucking hit.
A wrestling
such a
god.
Douche,
yeah.
Dude.
Yes.
But anyway, this match was
so well.
This was a fairly straightforward match. Actually, like, this was probably the least weird match.
And probably the most predictable as well.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of knew Jarrett wasn't going to lose the NWA title to Bradshaw.
Right, right.
That there was most likely going to be some outside interference, which, of course, Rock and Roll Express, Barry Windham, of course they provided the outside interference to end the match.
Right. The weird part of it to me is that all those guys came out of the beginning and they got bounced.
Like, yes.
Normally they would just stay backstage until it's time for them to come out and do a run-in.
Right.
But this was, kind of weird. And because it was on this pay-per-view. Like, if this been, if they had booked this at WrestleMania, those guys wouldn't have come out at the beginning of the match, probably.
And you wonder, like, did WWF book this pay-per-view the way that they did? Because they're like, you know what? Nobody's going to fucking pay attention to the pay-per-view between Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Like, who cares? This is filler. Just throw some guys out there. Whatever.
No, I think Vince and Russo were on acid when they booked it.
At least one of the two.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but it was just strange.
And we haven't even gotten to the craziest match yet.
Oh, no. No, we're working our way toward it.
So, yeah, this was when I started having a lot of questions. So the next match is a War of Attrition match. And that was a 5-on-5?
Yeah, it was a 5-on-5.
So Ahmed Johnson and then the Disciples of the Apocalypse, which was 8-Ball, Chains, and Skull. And then Ken Shamrock. And they beat the Nation of Domination, which I'm sure you all know, was The Rock, Farouk, D'Lo Brown, Kama Mustafa, and Mark Henry. By submission. So it's already, like, what the fuck is War of Attrition?
Well, that's the thing that's weird about this match, right? It was called the War of Attrition, but there was no attrition. Right? They actually went so far as Jerry Lawler at one point was just fucking with JR, and he said, JR, I don't think you even know what attrition is. And JR is like, of course I do. It means elimination. This wasn't an elimination match.
At all. Right? Had nothing to do with elimination.
Right.
It was
The hell do you call it a War of Attrition without it? There's no attrition. It would be like if you had a cell match without a cell.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
It would be like if you went to Starbucks and they didn't sell you coffee.
So the goal of this match was really to push the Ken Shamrock versus The Rock Intercontinental title match at WrestleMania. And again, just to go back to my point, this really seemed like a filler pay-per-view. Like, all we're going to do is get over the feuds that need to get over for WrestleMania, and this pay-per-view is a throwaway.
I think you're wrong. I don't think this was, because I don't think The Rock wrestled Shamrock at 14, right? Isn't that the one where Rock did that stupid-ass backstage interview with, like, Jennifer Flowers?
Well, he did, but I thought he wrestled Shamrock at the same pay-per-view.
I don't know. I thought it was
Rock and Shamrock.
Maybe. I thought The Rock didn't have a match at 14. I thought this match was more about The Rock trying to take over the Nation, because they did a promo before.
Well, that was a piece, too, yes.
Yeah, they did a promo before the match where The Rock was, like, rolling his eyes at Farouk.
Which is, like, one of the most used gifs ever.
Yes.
As
he's rolling
his eyes at Farouk talking. Yeah.
Right. And then after the match, so they lost. They lost, right?
Shamrock tapped out The Rock.
Right. But then, I don't know, the Nation wanted to do their pose in the ring, but The Rock was like, fuck you guys, I'm out.
The Rock left and Farouk demanded he get back in.
Yeah, and Farouk, or The Rock, like a good boy, did get back in.
Exactly.
But I thought that was sort of the story of the match. I mean, I'd have to look it up, but I felt like The Rock didn't wrestle Shamrock for a bit.
There were two goals in that match. To build the Shamrock and Rock feud, and also to push who was the leader of the Nation of Domination.
Right.
So you had the power struggle between Farouk and The Rock. It got over what it needed to.
Yeah.
But not a super memorable match. But you could see, I mean, 98, especially February of 1998, was all about Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
But you could see the seeds planted for guys like Mankind, Triple H, but especially The Rock.
Yeah. Totally.
The Rock was on a rocket to superstardom, and you could see the seeds planted even before this pay-per-view, but even more so during that interview with the Nation of Domination when he's rolling his eyes. He's the centerpiece of that interview, and you could just tell the dude had something.
And leading up to this, I think, was when The Rock, I think a week, yeah, because I watched it, maybe the week or the week before that, like a week before or a week before that, you know,
in February, they're building to the pay-per-view.
Before that, like the week before or the week before that. That was when The Rock gave everyone gifts. Didn't he give them all Rolexes? All the Nation?
Was when he gave
He gave Farouk a photograph of himself.
Yeah, a painting of himself.
And then Farouk's in the ring wrestling, and The Rock standing outside in front of the hard camera holding the enormous picture of himself in front of Farouk's match.
You just knew, and you could see.
That's my favorite thing The Rock ever did.
He was so good as a heel.
Yeah, he was great.
And he had a way of getting himself over without making the other guys look less.
Yeah.
He made Farouk look like $1 million. Mm-hmm. D'Lo, Godfather, Mark Henry. But you could just see this dude, The Rock, had something.
Yeah.
And he proved it years later.
And it was only 15 months after this he headlined his first WrestleMania.
That's correct.
Right? And then he headlined the next one after that.
Yeah.
He headlined the next two.
Yeah.
Right? Because it would be 15, 16, and 17.
Correct.
And 18, honestly, he was the main event.
It wasn't Brock breaking his neck off of the top rope. It was The Rock and the Stone Cold at 19.
I take that back. It was Brock breaking his
Because fuck Brock.
Right. But yeah, that was... I think that was the story of that match.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Good.
So yeah, then my questions continue.
Go ahead.
Because the next is a singles match. It was Kane with Paul Bearer defeated Vader. Which I don't know. I have questions because to me it's the penultimate match, right? It's second to last.
Yes.
But there was two other matches that actually had like the championship on the line, but they were way earlier in the show.
Right.
So what the hell was this?
I don't know. Actually, that's a good question because, well, that's like, okay, so this is like the, by the way, excellent use of the word penultimate.
Thank you.
Agreed. Yeah, this would be like where you would have had like
host shit.
Normally, this is where you would have
the best words.
I have the best.
You might have like Tori versus 98, like Ivory or something.
Correct.
The spot.
Yeah, this is almost like your filler match right before the main event.
Right, piss break match.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, Benoit match, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, that was interesting. That was an interesting spot for them to be in that match. And actually, I don't remember, because this was would have been only 3-4 weeks after he killed The Undertaker with fire.
Right.
Right?
Oh, Kane so, killed.
Kane killed his brother, The Undertaker.
Kayfabe
yeah.
brother.
Yeah. San Jose, we were there.
Yeah, we were there.
I'm going to call, every time we've been to something, I'm going to call it out.
And you're going to snap your fingers.
And snap my fingers.
Like that.
Yeah.
Which normally means get me a beer, but in some cases might mean, oh, let's cheers.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Cheers for everything we've been at.
I'd like some wine.
This match was not actually that weird, other than, I shouldn't even say it was weird, Kane beat the fuck out of Vader.
It was predictable.
He beat the fuck out of Vader. Like, Vader was, my God, like, Vader was like a jobber in that match.
He was, and that broke my heart, because we're going to do, spoiler alert, we're going to do a best big man show.
Yeah.
And Vader, in my opinion, is one of the best ever.
Yeah.
And I say predictable because you knew going into this match, Vader was going to be the guy putting Kane over because you could see the direction Kane was going.
Right, right. And you knew Undertaker was coming back.
And you did. But I hated to see Vader, the guy, in this spot to build the Undertaker and Kane feud because you hope for more for Vader. And Kane beat the fuck out of him.
Right.
I mean, like, there was no doubt.
Well, but with Vader, so he had that eye injury, right?
Yes.
Was that, do you know if that was to do with when his eye fell out? In Japan?
Oh, against Hansen?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was related to that. Built on that, but they never mentioned it if it was supposed to be related to that.
No, I don't mean storyline. I mean, like, he had an eye issue several years after his eye falling out of his face, like Roger Rabbit. Right? I mean, do you know if that's what that was for?
I don't know,
okay.
Dude.
Well, anyway.
God damn it, Roger Rabbit, dude. You son of a bitch.
Yeah, but Vader was great, dude. As far as big men go, Vader was great. He's no Will Ospreay, to be fair. But
hey,
the dude could work. You know what I always loved about Vader the best is his punches. His punches look just so fucking stiff and legit. Like when you saw Vader punch a dude, you were like, he's punching that dude.
And a man who is 400 pounds should not be able to moonsault off mm-hmm. the top rope like a motherfucker like Vader did.
And he did a moonsault in this match, and it was actually a shitty ass moonsault.
It was, and it's a damn shame because yeah. Vader was capable of so much more. He botched the moonsault, but that dude could moonsault like nobody's business.
It was late in his career. He was an older dude.
It was later in his career.
His
You're
eye,
absolutely right.
Seven his eye had fallen out.
Yeah.
He just wore a mask.
It looks like what do you that was like in Pulp Fiction, the guy with like the
gimp. Oh, the gimp?
He looks like a gimp.
No, he didn't.
We didn't have a rubber ball in his mouth, thankfully.
I mean, it's like the same.
No.
Sans rubber ball.
No, Lars Sullivan had a rubber ball in his mouth, I think.
Oh.
Anyway.
6 inches and two balls.
On.
So well, it wasn't that weird of a match, right? It was fairly standard, but as is every other match in this pay-per-view, something weird happened, right? What happened that was weird in this match is when... Well, I thought it was weird that Kane chokeslammed Vader and he no-sold it. But whatever, right. Okay, so the finishes that he's... And that actually made Vader look pretty good, right?
Right into the finish.
But then he, like, he took a powerbomb... Tombstone after that.
Yep.
And that guy, man, he went up so easy. If you watched the way Kane picked him up, like, Vader was a pro.
Yeah, Vader's a pro.
But he turns him up for it, turns him upside down, and in the initial shot while it was live, you could see a microphone lowering from the ceiling.
Yeah.
Oops. And Vader's feet hit it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And I wasn't sure it had lowered or if it was just there or what. But then in the replay, you could see that it was lowering during that. And I don't know what the hell was going on. I was like...
Jumping the gun.
Well, I was like, does the audio guy know this is the finish?
Absolutely, yes.
But no, because 1, 2, 3, and the Fink says, you know, your winner, Kane. Fink said it from a wireless mic outside the ring.
Oh.
So some goofball upstairs. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I would never think twice about that on a regular pay-per-view, but on this pay-per-view, it was just one more weird thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Another like it was weird nuts. Shit.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's what that match was.
Well, let's not forget, too, Kane laying out Vader after the match with a wrench where he apparently dented in his face.
I forgot about that.
And they laid Vader on the gurney to stretcher him out.
Yes.
Face down.
Well, they do say that the best position to be on a stretcher if you have a face injury is on your face.
And they completely played it out that way because Vader was face down going out on the gurney. So you believed you were able to play along.
And so that was the match where we were talking about this earlier where, like, he smashed his face with this enormous... It was like a huge... It was like a 14-inch wrench, right?
Huge wrench,
like a 14, 16-inch box wrench.
Like a porno wrench.
I don't know anything about that.
Sullivan wrench. Stop. What is a porno wrench?
Like a normal wrench would be like a 6 to 7 inch wrench. This thing was like 14 inches long.
What porno do you watch that you there is a porno wrench?
He's BBC. I don't want to tell you this. He's into big dick porn.
What? No, I need more information.
Don't judge me. Don't judge me. He said it all right there. Don't judge me.
But so he smashed his face with the wrench, dropped it on the mat, and it was the fakest wrench in the world, right? It was clearly made of like foam. I think it was like carved out of foam and spray painted.
Yeah, sprayed silver. Yeah.
And what do they do to cover up that it was fake? Oh, they zoom right in on it after the match.
Right.
I mean, it takes up your whole TV picture. And it was like, the handle of the wrench was fucking curved. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was obviously not a piece of metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's par for the course for No Way Out 98.
Yep.
Well, I think we also can't forget that Kane is actually in charge of is he mayor of a...
Knox County, Tennessee.
Knox County.
Yeah. The only county that would elect a necrophiliac.
Correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct. Because he did bang Katie Vick when she was dead.
Yeah. Okay. Good for them.
So let's move on to the main event, which is the most confusing thing. So first of all, it is a non-sanctioned match. It's 8-man tag team match, which I think... I'm pretty sure all the listeners probably know what a traditional tag team match looks like, right?
I would think so.
There's two people in the ring at one point. Like, you know, you have to tag in.
And you got your partner on the outside holding the tag rope on the apron, yes.
But this one's non-sanctioned.
Non-sanctioned.
And so we have Cactus Jack, Chainsaw Charlie, Owen Hart, and Stone Cold. And they won, and they defeated the New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn and Road Dogg, Triple H with Chyna, and it was supposed to be your favorite wrestler.
Shawn Michaels.
And what happened?
Shawn's back was fucked from the Rumble.
Yes.
We were there.
Hold on.
Cheers.
Cheers to being there.
But his back was fucked from that backdrop onto the coffin. So the whole, kind of the overarching storyline of the pay-per-view is who's going to be the mystery partner.
That was the whole thing.
Right. So the babyface team comes out first, right, for the big reveal.
Yes.
And then everyone from the heel team comes out. And the last person to come to the ring that we've been waiting all these hours for, Savio fucking Vega.
Who did you think it was? Like, what were you thinking? Like, who were you guessing? You know, because you're always guessing, right? If there's a mystery partner, you're always guessing.
I don't know because at the time the pay-per-view was on, this is a better question for him because I didn't watch pay-per-view live. And then when I was watching it a couple weeks ago, it was sort of, I was trying to think of who was on the roster at that point. So, I was like, maybe Val Venus, but I think Val Venus wasn't
there. I was actually hoping that they would dip into the ECW pool.
Oh.
Mm.
Because I wanted Stevie Richards, who would have been a spitting image clone at the time, to HBK. Stevie Richards was the leader of the BWO.
Shitty HBK.
Shit. Okay. I mean, that's okay to call him that in 2019, but in 1998, Yeah. That dude was a spitting image of HBK. He did a super kick as his finisher. He was super athletic in the ring.
He was a clone of HBK. You wanted
a kind of, sort of, yeah. And knowing the the relationship that WWE or WWF and ECW had at the time, I was really hoping that Stevie Richards would have been the guy that WWE would have brought in. But no. We sat 2.5 hours to get Savio Vega.
Savio fucking Vega.
Yeah, that was so... This is the funniest match I've ever seen in my life.
It's...
Right?
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it.
I think it recently became like one of my top three favorite matches of all time. It's so funny.
Savio Vega is currently signed to Major League Wrestling.
Everyone signed to Major League Wrestling.
What the hell is that?
Right?
I think Ed just signed a deal, actually, with Major League Wrestling.
Yeah, the only ones who don't work there anymore are Sammy Callahan and Jim Cornette.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's because Jim Cornette doesn't work for anybody right now.
Major League Wrestling.
It's an indie from like, I don't know.
Well, it makes it sound very important.
British Bulldog's son wrestles.
Good
there.
Name.
Yeah, I know. Really.
So the match was, this match was absurd. So it's an unsanctioned match, right?
Unsanctioned. I mean, WWF said, fuck this. We don't want anything to do with this match. You guys are just going to go out there, have a match. And we want nothing to do with it.
But we will give you a ring.
And
we
a ref.
We will give you a half hour at the end of the show. We'll give you a referee, and we will advertise
it. We'll make you the main event.
We'll make you the main event.
And you'll be the main event.
Yes. But we don't know anything about this.
What?
Right?
This is under our radar.
Unsanctioned matches.
I don't know.
Yeah, the idea of an unsanctioned match in the first place is completely insane. Like, if it's an unsanctioned match, it should be out in the fucking parking lot, and some dude with his phone should be recording it.
Right, like APW shit.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so it's nuts. So the match starts, and it's a shit show straight from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
It's dudes hitting each other with trash cans and baking sheets, and Triple H has
them. I don't know why they're bringing baking sheets.
Because they look good.
And they're made of metal.
They bend. They make a good noise.
They bend, yes.
Triple H is out there with a mop like he's fucking Stanley Spadowski.
No, I was hoping for cookies.
Right?
Me too.
Sorry, that was true.
Yeah. So they're beating the fuck out of each other. 3 minutes into the match, Billy Gunn goes through a table.
Right. 3 minutes in.
20-minute match. And 3 minutes in, Billy Gunn goes through a table. Meanwhile, through this whole time, Owen Hart, who's a regular wrestler, is in the match wrestling.
A real wrestler, right. Yes.
I think he has his second sharpshooter on, like,
within the first 7 minutes of the match.
Right,
yeah.
Like, right away. Like, Owen's trying to have a wrestling match because he's way out of his element.
He's drop-kicking people. He's doing his shit. I mean, he's doing the sharpshooter 2 times in the first 7 minutes. Yeah. He's having a wrestling match.
He's pretty
the
much...
The other seven guys are like, fuck this.
Yeah, Owen kind of stayed in the ring the whole time. But so it's total chaos for the first 7-8 minutes.
Easily,
and then
yeah.
They get in the ring. Suddenly they're like, oh, wait, there are rules to tag team matches. So Stone Cold, at one point, you see him get out of the ring. But then, like, I think the Outlaws are double teaming Terry Funk. And he gets back in the ring because he looks like a fucking idiot for standing on the apron.
Right.
And he kind of hits them a few times. Then he gets back out of the ring again. And then in the ring again. Like, he doesn't know what to do because it's just like... I think nobody talked about this beforehand, and they all just went out and did their own shit.
Yeah, let's just go call it in the ring.
Right, and you can do that, but I guess not when you have 8 guys and one of them is Terry Funk.
Right, well, let's not forget, too, out of the 8 guys in this match, 6 of them are Hall of Famers.
Yes.
The only 2 that are not, 1, Savio Vega.
Right.
Which you could argue if Coco Beware is your bar for getting in.
Yeah.
Savio Vega at least has a fighting chance to get in.
Right.
The other one is Owen Hart.
Right.
Who, by all measures, should absolutely 100% be in the WWE Hall of Fame. So this match had a lot of fire and star power.
Totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So then it turns into somewhat of a regular match, but what's happening is the whole fucking time, the babyface team stand outside the ring, the heels are double teaming whoever's in the ring with him. So it's Terry was in there a long time.
Yeah, the 83-year-old Terry Funk, right, taking the beating of his fucking life.
Right, the Outlaws are in there smashing shit over his head. Like, and I'm talking like Terry's not getting his hands up or anything. They're just fucking him right up.
Unprotected chair shots.
Yeah, yeah. And Stone Cold, Mick Foley, and Owen are like politely waiting on the outside of the ring.
Politely, as faces should.
Right, right. It was like, I mean, Owen's Canadian. I understand the politeness from him. but a New Yorker and a Texan, you'd think they'd be a little more assertive.
Yeah,
but they're right. like, no, we'll just wait out here.
We're good.
Well, we watched it a little bit earlier. And,
yes.
Just someone coming in, you have no idea who's who. There was no indication of who was with who. And what did I say? There was 2 guys that had, I thought was a little odd. Both had red shirts on and black pants.
Chainsaw Charlie and Savio Vega. Savio,
well, yeah. They're clearly on the same team, and you were like, nope.
Nope.
Nope. Yeah. Opposite sides of the ring. Right. Yep.
Yeah, it was nuts. The whole thing was nuts. And there was one spot that I loved. Terry hit, I think, Road Dogg over the head. I mean, he swung this like it was a baseball bat. It was like a trash, like a garbage bag, right? Like a hefty bag. Like he's got so much cash, he's got to keep it in hefty bags.
Right.
And it must have been filled. It sounded like it was filled with like wet towels or something.
Yeah.
But it made an awesome noise and it looked great. And then he tossed it out into the crowd. And that's the only time I've ever seen that. But it was great. You know what I mean? It was really, it was very effective. It sounded great, looked great.
Well, one of the not so greats is when, if you'd like to go get another beer.
Shannon's getting it for me.
Oh, excellent. If you'd like to talk about one of the spots that was not so great, would be Billy Gunn putting Chainsaw Charlie's head between his legs. As Chainsaw Charlie is in the ring, Billy Gunn is on the apron, puts Chainsaw Charlie's head between his legs so Triple H from the floor can wheel the chair, swing it, hit Chainsaw Charlie in the head, and his head is trapped between Billy Gunn's legs. However, on camera, this looked like Triple H literally just hit Billy Gunn in his ass with a chair. And then Billy Gunn moved, proceeded to give Chainsaw Charlie an unprotected chair shot, and Chainsaw Charlie fell from the middle rope to the outside of the ring, head first onto a table, which at 83 years old had to be devastating.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right. It was, yeah, he fell like a fucking, like a rocket fell out of the sky or something.
A lawn dart, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, that was nuts. And then there was the part where, was it Road Dogg? I forget who it was, but they practically lynched Foley with barbed wire.
Oh, God,
they
yeah.
lynched his throat and his dick with barbed wire.
Yes.
And again, the baby faces are on the outside of the ring. This was after they beat the shit out of him for a good 3 minutes on the floor. They're hitting him with the steps, dropping shit on him, fucking him up. And his whole team is standing outside on the apron. Nobody's coming to help him. And again, let's repeat, this is an unsanctioned match with no rules.
Unsanctioned, but let's hear it for safety first. Because Savio Vega, when using the barbed wire on Cactus Jack, had safety gloves on. As not to puncture his hands,
right.
but to puncture Cactus Jack's genitals, neck, and eyes.
Yeah, and at one point after like that spot was over, you see Foley, and this was, we were talking about this earlier.
Yes.
You never saw blood on him, but you could see that it was real barbs. And I think none of the barbs maybe got into his arms, but there was that one. He pulled it right out of his damn neck.
In his fucking neck.
Yeah, I mean, he had a barb from barbed wire right in his neck.
I'm going to throw up, too.
No, it's really
and he
bad.
Rolled out of the ring
it
after
might be
that.
Yeager.
That was the last time you saw him the rest of the match.
It might be the drinking, yeah.
It might be the drinking. Yes, right? That was the last you saw of him because then, yeah. I mean, let's kind of cut to the finish here. The finish was because 1998, make no mistake, nobody was hotter in wrestling than Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
This match was tailor-made to get Steve Austin over as your next big guy.
Did he need to get over? I thought he was already over.
They just kept heaping on.
Well, he was going into a title match with Shawn, so yeah.
Yeah, he needed to go over in this match. It worked 100%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it did.
Absolutely. Nobody could touch.
That shit show of a match worked to put him over.
Oh, 100% because look, the hot tag.
It was a great match.
It really was. I mean, like, look, when we get hammered, normally our go-to is Mike Awesome and Masato Tanaka.
Yeah.
That's 15 minutes of our lives that we love every time we drink. This might be now our second go-to match. When normally it's like, let's put on Trish and Lita, Trish's retirement match. We'll get some tears going.
Yeah, if I want to cry.
Right. Yeah. Or we'll even watch Shawn Michaels' 26 match against Undertaker, get a little more tears going. But now,
it's the funniest fucking match I've ever seen in my life. I told her it was
I literally thought he was watching.
It was like,
are you watching the new Eliza special without me?
Dude, it was like they booked the Three Stooges versus the Marx Brothers. But then the Three Stooges, because Savio was in the match, it was like the Three Stooges showed up with fucking Shemp.
Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, it was just insane. But the finish of the match.
Some people like Shemp, you guys.
Hey.
Okay.
We don't judge.
Yeah.
We teach their own. But the finish of the match was Stone Cold getting the hot tag, pinning the Road Dogg, as you expected. The best part was after the match, China jumps into the ring and goes face-to-face with Stone Cold.
Yeah.
And you had no idea where this was going to go. You're like, is China going to give him a low blow, make Stone Cold look like shit? Oh, no, no, no. Pushes him twice. Stone Cold gets the crowd appreciation. Boom, stunner to China. Give your hell yeah. get out of the ring, send everybody home happy. Yeah. A great finish to what is essentially your bridge from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. And one of the craziest. I'm actually glad you brought this to me because I hadn't watched this pay-per-view since it aired in 1998. Yeah. So when you're like, dude, you got to watch No Way Out 98, I'm like, fucking why?
Well, yeah, well, exactly.
Now I understand.
The finish of getting Stone Cold over was him beating up a woman.
In addition to Road Dogg, yes.
Right.
Just wanted to be clear.
Yeah. It was the 90s.
What? Look, China was no ordinary woman.
Look, first of all, I'm just kidding. And I totally, like, it's ridiculous that if that was just a joke.
It was a different time. It was the 1900s.
It was the 1900s.
You had Brian Christopher making racist remarks in the second match.
It was fine.
No, yeah, I mean, it was fine.
I thought Randy Orton giving Nia Center was amazing. It was my favorite moment. That might be my favorite moment in wrestling.
That's fair. Great. It was great, and I highly recommend anyone who's not seen this pay-per-view, go back and watch it if you have the network.
Yes.
Like, watch it. So,
you'll laugh like you've never laughed.
Yeah, so if it's probably Friday if you're listening to this, watch it tomorrow morning.
Yeah, go.
Or watch it tonight.
While you're drinking.
Get a bottle of Jaeger, get some Broken Skull if you can get it, and watch this pay-per-view. And watch it with that frame of mind that it's crazy, and especially the main event is fucking hilarious. It's like a Jackass movie that was condensed into a 20-minute match.
Right.
Yeah. It was great. It was great. We love it.
And that was it.
So, yeah. I think that covers it.
That was the pay-per-view.
So watch the ridiculous pay-per-view. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at wrestling_drunk. Also, if you enjoyed hearing a bunch of drunk idiots talk about wrestling, be sure to hit subscribe wherever you're listening, or which is probably Spotify, iHeartRadio, or iTunes. And again, if you liked hearing this, please leave us a review wherever you listen. It really does help. But the most helpful thing to do is to tell your friends. So enjoy your buzz, watch wrestling responsibly, and remember to drink like nobody's watching. Cheers.
Dive.
Cheers. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. I'm gonna jack it where the sun always shines.
He's gonna jack it.
Been spreading the word and now I need to ease my mind.
Jacking it. Oh.
Been planting them apple seeds and while the apples grow, I'm gonna go out jacking it in San Diego. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, spanking it, smack. I don't need no shirt, no. Gonna take them pants right off.
He's about to jack it.
On such a bright day, who needs underwear or socks?
Jacking it.
Been around God's country, and there's one thing I know. There's no better place for jacking it than San Diego. Jacking, jacking, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Jacking it, spanking it. San Diego, there's so much to see. From the sparkling waters of Mission Bay to the warm tortillas of Old Town. And after a day of sightseeing, why not try spanking it in one of our charming city streets? San Diego, come, take a load off. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack. Whacking it, whackity, whack. Spanking it, jerking it, smackity, smack. The cars are passing me by, they honk and say hello.
Hey, that guy's jacking it.
From his window, there's a guy shooting video.
Video of him jacking.
And if the good Lord Jesus comes knocking on my door, just tell him that I'm jacking it in San Diego. Jacking it, jacking it, jacking it, jack. Spanking it, smacking it, smack.
He's about to jack it.
Jacking it, jack, jacking it, jacking it. Whacking, whacking, spank, whack, spanking it, whack.
Look at me, I'm jacking
it. Whacking, jacking, jack, whacking it, whack. Spanking, spanking, whacking, whack.
About to
San Diego, Jack, Jack.